This podcast episode is supported by EBRD. Support to small and medium-sized businesses is an important part of the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development's mandate. Activities to support small businesses include direct and indirect financing through partner institutions. The EBRD's Advice for Small Businesses team provides the knowledge, the network, and the skills to help emerging businesses innovate, thrive, and succeed.
Hello, Recursive Community. Today, we're doing things a bit differently. We decided to revisit some of our iconic conversations on the podcast and take a peek in what happened next in the lives and entrepreneurial journeys of our guests. The first that we wanted to invite is Ivailo Slavov, one of the pioneers in the IT industry in Bulgaria. The last time we met him, his company Bulpros was just merged with the German company EC4U, and the new company that came out of it, Digital, was striving to become the digital cloud services leader and conquer the US market. Almost years later, Ivailo wears the hat of an investor and is involved in two brand new projects at the intersection of AI and HR. Ivailo, I'm very happy that you're here again.
Yeah, me too. I'm very happy as well.
In 2 years, a lot has changed. Last time we met you, you were at the helm of Digital, the digital cloud services company that emerged after the merger between Bulpros and EC4U. What has changed since then, and for the company, but also personally?
Okay, I will start personally and then we'll go to the company.
Okay.
Since April 1st, a very good date this year, I'm no more CEO of the company. And I'm just involved as advisor, a shareholder of the company, which was a very significant change like 13 years later. For me personally, it was for good, because after so many years, you have to make place for other people to jump in and to make the follow-up steps. And it was exactly 2 years after the deal. Means it was exactly the right time to start new initiatives, new ventures, new adventures, and all these things which are related to that. For the company, David Laux, who was my counterpart, my partner, who was driving and leading EC4U, become CEO of the company on a global level. And Jordan Ginev, who was one of the founders of Bulpros, become the managing director for Bulgaria and CEO of the company, which I think was a very good decision, and the company is heading further with the tailwinds to new highs.
Mm-hmm. I find it actually exciting to talk to founders who have exited, who are not involved in the businesses that they have created. I'm imagining that it is quite hard to get out of the trenches, pass the baton, and become an observant, especially when this has been your baby, more or less. And it is also a time where you need to identify with new things in your life. Like, you're not, you know, the Bulpros guy. Everyone knew you as the Bulpros guy. And I think we still know you as the Bulpros guy. Who are you now?
Okay, this will last for a while. This is like this. I mean, if you spend so many years and making so many things around that, that lasts for a while. But the first thing I made is I went to Uruguay and Argentina and spent a couple of weeks in beautiful Latin America and was enjoying life. This was very important for me, just to have some time to recharge and to make the bridge from the one life to the other life. This was very, very helpful. I met a couple of friends. We made a lot of interesting things, a lot of hiking, a lot of beach tours, and all the nice stuff around it. And then I came back to Europe, went to Greece, went to Spain, went to Portugal, went to a couple of other countries. And after this month and a half, I started to rethink and to rebuild the strategy about the next years.
So you worked hard for more than 13 years and then you take a break of 1.5 months. Is it proportional? Does it sound proportional to you?
That's very short. Even this 1.5 months was not a real break, because I was thinking what to do next. I mean, if you're emotional by the things you're doing, usually it takes you all the time by building new ideas, having new things to think about, and so on and so forth. And there are a lot of interesting developments around. Therefore, we are there.
So you started thinking about the next chapter of your life already on the break, maybe even before that. Tell me, what was the thing that you thought, okay, this is where my spark is and this is where I would like to devote the next, I don't know, 13 years or maybe less?
I mean, the first question I asked myself is what I am not going to do.
Not what I'm going to do.
Okay. Because if you know what you're not going to do, then potentially the rest of the things you have to do is the ones that you have to focus on.
What was the answer?
And the answer was, I'm not going to take those type of operational responsibilities anymore, because now I have the time to give some of the knowledge back, to give some advisory back, to think about the things that we learned, the good and bad experiences, all the things which are surrounding you in life, and then to start support other entrepreneurs potentially or other people which are bringing ideas in their venture to get there. And this was one of the things which I decided not to do. And then the second question was what to do when this is what I'm not going
to
do.
Which is the hardest. Yeah.
And I was thinking the last couple of years that there are two spaces in let's say, in our industry, in technology, but also in related industries, which are very, very interesting to be, let's say, to turn them in some commercial things. The one was AI, and the second one was security. This was the two areas where I believe with all the developments we have around us, they will change our lives big time. Okay, there are other things like batteries, there are other things like electricity, there are a lot of things like renewable energies, green, and so on and so forth, which are equally important, equally visible for the changes which are up to come to us. But based on my background, especially in the combination of HR and IT, this was something that was very, very interesting. I mean, the security of the data on one hand side, and also the usage of artificial intelligence in order to improve and make more efficient processes around HR.
Tell me about the project, actually. What made them special? Why did you decide to invest exactly in these two?
I mean, I'm investor in four projects. To be honest, the one project is a very old one, and this is a company called Easy Consult that I'm working with since almost the beginning of Bupros and so on and so forth.
Okay.
And there I step in as advisor and started to help and support the company to reinvent itself from the old image of agency to the new image of kind of a flexible workforce service provider, which is helping the market to import some skills and knowledge, to export some skills and knowledge, to find digital ways how to do this easier. Then this is related also with demographics, this is related also with migration and all the things. And it means this type of work is very, very funny and also very challenging because we have to change a lot. We have to change a lot in the perception of people. We have to change a lot in the legislation, in limitations. And especially here in our country, we do have plenty of those. And now we are working together with the government, with all the bodies on this improvement of the possibility to get some people from outside, especially from outside the EU, to come to our country and to support us in our economic development. And in parallel to that, to create a digital, let's say, digital tools, digital application, and also software, and so on and so forth, which is helping to move the people where the skills are needed, especially for knowledge workers, which will be a predominant portion of the future working workforce. Yeah. For them, this is very important because they can get access in this way to available, interesting things for them, where they can realize their potential. And this is something that is, let's say, in the background of this combination. Mm-hmm. On top of it, there was a very good guy who is heading a company called Digital Lights, Dmitko Dimitrov.
Oh, yes. He's been here in our podcast.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. And Dmitko together with his team, created a software called Team Schedule, which is working in the area of shift management, scheduling management, people management, resource management, and so on and so forth. And this was something that, when I was earlier the CEO of Adecco, was one of the biggest challenges we had.
Yes.
To manage in the right way the people, how they distribute it to work, who is coming, how the shifts are organized, what are the legislation purposes, and so on and so forth. And together with Vitusha Ventures, I became an investor of Team Schedule. This was the one of the first things I did after stop.
It's a spin-off, actually, of Digital Lights.
Absolutely, yes, but it's a separate company now, working exactly focused on this product. And let's say, with the previous experience working with big vendors, also producing software, we are supporting each other on the journey, and we like to find the right way for this to happen.
From what I hear, the only way to do spin-offs, actually, you need to separate them 100% in a committed team.
Focused, in the focus, 100% organized way. And this is the only way how it works, I believe, as well. And this is what we did. And when Mitko invited me to support him in that, it was a big pleasure for me to jump in and to get into this.
Great.
This is the second investment venture.
Okay.
And now I'm coming to the newest kids on the block.
Yes.
The first thing is, maybe for many people don't know, but back at the end of 90s and the beginning of 2000, we was able to commercialize the first job board. It was called itjobs.bg.
Okay.
And itjobs.bg was belonging to me. I was one of the owners of this. And this was like 24, 25 years ago. And then recently, a couple of months ago, Biser Kunchev, who was long years the sales director of JobsBG, came to me and asked me, do I like to participate in his new project? And his new project is called Work Talent. And is kind of much more modern, much more fancy, much more AI-oriented and a platform, which became the major competitor of JobsBG in the next years, based on the new functionalities, new features, and new things which are included in the platform.
So it is a job board, but it's not focused on IT. It's it has a broader spectrum.
Absolutely. It's a job board for everybody. And is very much oriented to help candidates to present themselves better than only with CV. Because the regular ways which we grow up with was that somebody's writing a CV, sending a CV, sending motivation letter, and so on and so forth. But let's imagine you need people which are speaking well German and have some engineering knowledge. And if some of these guys can provide a good quality with a great quality video business card or something like this, this could help every employer to shorten the process and to decide with whom to speak and with whom not to speak.
I'm curious if it's going to shorten the process, because then you have to watch the full video. And from recruiters, I can guess that they scan just certain CVs and it's okay, no, no, no. I'm just joking, of course.
I would say the recruiters of the future will face more and more CVs which are written by ChatGPT.
Also true.
The recruiters of the future will analyze these CVs with ChatGPT. And if you can imagine how the AI will change all the perception, because earlier days you was like sitting days to find the best possible way how to describe yourself and so on and so forth. Currently, this process could be shortened in about 10 minutes because someone is proposing you how this looks like based on the information you're providing to him. And then imagine you can match all this information much more efficient with the help of AI.
So that's also humanness check, so to say.
This means that the human check, the last step, the human check, will be kind of much faster than ever before.
Okay.
And this is something which we are working heavily on that, to provide this experience to both sides, to the employers and the candidates, how this can improve, how they can faster to this, how they can get the better view, also the better presentation of the candidate, because one of the challenges is usually maybe somebody doesn't have the sufficient experience, but has the passion, has the skills, has the ability to show. And if you judge only by the university he finished, the first job he made, and so on and so forth, potentially losing great candidates in a process where you need somebody with the right passion, the right style, the right motivation, the right things, and so on and so forth. And this cannot be written in a document. But if you go to video, if you go to other things, then you can see exactly that, and you can see, okay, maybe it makes sense to see this guy.
It's interesting because even at the Recursive, we started incorporating video presentations in our recruitment process. Exactly because it's not only about the technical skills that you might have, but it is also about the mindset. And I do believe that in a knowledge economy that we're living right now, where you need to be constantly acquiring new knowledge, it is more about how curious you are, how motivated you are, how much self-discipline you have, how much passion you have for a certain project, so that you can keep on growing and developing. And I think this is what would matter even more.
Exactly, yeah. This topic we like to address with Work Talent. That's exactly the point. And I think that's very important. I think that's very important because the work of the future, especially in the knowledge economy, will be very different than the work in the past.
Yeah.
So this is the third project.
Okay.
And then coming to the fourth project.
Yeah.
The fourth project is kind of very exciting because this is very different, but also very similar to the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different because we had the task to discuss and to decide how to shorten the process to find unqualified, non-digital workers. Because our demographic development mm-hmm. leads to a big shortage of a normal manufacturing, hospitality, industry workers.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everybody is facing this difficulty. The problem is, most of these guys didn't have even computer. They cannot go to JobsBG, to Work Talent, to other job boards. They cannot go there because mm-hmm. they don't have any access to digital life.
How do they find about open job positions then?
They don't find. They find that if somebody is at the shop, if somebody in the restaurant says something to them, if somebody from the family tell that maybe in this factory somebody is looking for people, we even from the agency standpoint, there are people running around and putting these papers on the trees, and it's written that you can take the phone number and
I'm
then call.
I'm sorry for my surprise. I'm just realizing how much I also live in a bubble, which is a bit sad. Wow.
Just imagine that more than 50% of the unqualified workers doesn't have or have limited access to everything digital. We are not talking about language knowledge. We are not talking about university education. We are not talking about this. We are talking about the access to digital. And we said we call them first non-LinkedIn users. We said, okay, let's discuss what to do with the non-LinkedIn users. And this is the way how the Vibe Jobs was created. We said the only common denominator, which is kind of digital for these guys, is the usage of Viber, WhatsApp, Facebook, and all this, because almost every one of them has smartphone today.
Yeah, of course.
And in order to call each other without paying, mm-hmm. they are calling each other through Viber, WhatsApp. You know? This is the way of communication today for them. For most of them.
Of course.
And then together with Viber and together with Vitusha Ventures, New Vision, and so on and so forth, we identified how to, let's say, invent Vibe Jobs. It's an interesting idea. This mm-hmm. means this is a chatbot-based job board within Viber, which is helping you to create simple CV, which is giving you access to refer a friend, which is giving you the opportunity to show who you are, which is giving you the opportunity to apply for a job, which is giving you the opportunity to be taken for a job, mm-hmm. and then to recommend this to some friends in order to get additional bonus and so on and so forth.
This is all in the ecosystem of Viber.
And this is only within Viber. On the back end, mm-hmm. it's a real, I would say, kind of ATS, applicant tracking system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of this, with the CRM, with knowledge about the people and so on and so forth. But the front end is purely Viber. And this is a chatbot in Viber. Wow. And we was able to find guys which are working on this science a while.
Mm-hmm.
also very much related to AI. Maybe you know Ross and Zivko from Abilitix and Zivko and so on and so forth. And we combine our forces. And they provide the technology that they was working for the last couple of years. And we provide the knowledge of the HR. And we combine this. And now VibeJobs is up to come in the next small number of weeks to the market.
And what is your, are you a co-founder? Are you an investor? Are you an advisor? That's, I mean, I'm sure that they, you are creating great value, but...
I would say I'm the investor.
Okay.
But for sure, I'm helping here and there with the, some strategic advice.
Of course. That's
and,
also the role.
Also supporting the foundation of the company.
But what are you going to do if this is going to explode? Because I can imagine this is not only relevant for Bulgaria, but this is relevant for the whole world.
Viber is something which is relevant for at least most of the countries in CE.
Yeah.
Cyprus, Greece, Thailand, and many others to mention. They have something like 300 million users.
Yeah.
And we like to address these 300 million users and the respective employees with that.
Wow. Okay.
And these are the four small projects in HR that I kind of
Well, I can imagine
invested.
That they keep you busy.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely
what,
yes.
What happened with the other 25 companies that you were involved in? But that's a... Last time that we spoke, I think you counted them. Okay, so you're adding four more to the number. What kind of investor are you? So you seem, at least to me, to be very hands-on investor. You're involved in the strategic development of these companies. You provide knowledge that probably few people in Bulgaria have, because as an employer, as someone who has been dealing with recruitment people, you have this vast, vast, vast experience. So, how operationally involved are you
at this point? I'm not really operationally involved. Let's say like this. I'm everything but not financial investor, but I'm not operationally involved at the same time.
Okay.
This means that my job here is really to think about the strategic developments, to judge about... further steps, to think about jointly about go-to-markets, to think about market penetration, those type of things, which are more supporting the regular operational activities of the development. Work Talent has his management team, VibeJobs has his management team, Easy Consult has his management team, and Team Schedule has his management team as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not participating on a daily basis in daily operation of these companies. That's not my job there.
Yeah.
My job is more really to support the development hands-on, by the way, hands-on to support the development of the next steps of the strategy and also to help to prove it, to help to see...
To validate it,
To validate it. I mean, to define the ambition level with the guys and then to see how we are moving on that path. And is this moving the way that we like and so on and so forth? Also to talking, because I'm also co-investor with a couple of funds. I'm talking about with number of other guys, because if we are talking about our investments, we have to be aligned and we have to see what we are intending to do, what is our ambition level as investors and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
However, as I said, not operationally, but hands-on strategic go-to-market, helping to validate and looking after.
And do you plan to expand your portfolio in the future? I don't know, create maybe a whole startup studio or... I'm pretty sure that you're in the space because you are tempted to solve problems. You see a problem and then you think, okay, what could be the solution? And then it becomes exciting and then you jump in. But do you think also strategically how you're going to manage this ecosystem of investments? Because I am sure that there will be also portfolio effects that you would be able to observe.
Are you inviting people for a third time? I think in 6 months from now, I can talk more about that.
Okay. I want to ask you maybe also a bit of a philosophical question because I would like to understand maybe...
By the way, one thing I forgot to mention. Talking about work talent and what was my motivation to jump into this project. This project is supported heavily by dir.bg.
The job Port,
the news agency. Mm-hmm.
But which of the four? So the which of the four projects?
The work talent.
The work talent. Board project. The job board. Yeah.
And speaking loudly, I think media and job boards and these messages and so on and so forth mm-hmm. has to work hand in hand together. And yeah. this is one of the ways how you can make things more popular, mm-hmm. more near to the people, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. This means part of this traffic, part of this traction, which Dear.bg has day by day, mm-hmm. was something which was convincing me that it make a lot of sense, because the hardest thing in such project is to come to candidates. The hardest thing is to come to the people, because the demographic shows that we're going down and down, and the hardest
thing is to... It's going to get harder and harder.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And having the instruments of media, TV, sites, and so on and so forth, which are pushing on that, mm-hmm. it's much easier to get at least the attention of much more people yes. than in any other way. That was something that I like to mention.
Yeah, I mean, it's also something that we have thought about at the Recursive, of how can we make this, or how can we create even more synergies between job boards and media. Because as a media, you're building a sort of a community, you have your exactly. own audience. In our space, it's very niche. And it is requiring, when it comes to talent, not only a certain skill set, like a technical skill. It's not only about engineering. It's quite often related to how do you approach problems? Do you have a problem-solving exactly. skills? Are you fascinated by innovation? Are you well-informed what is happening outside the borders of Bulgaria, of Europe, and so on and so forth? Because you have to be. I mean, if you're competing on a global market, you have to be. And then we thought, okay, can someone build a job board that is specific for the needs of our audience? And it would be great, you know, to have something which is plug and play. Yeah, it would exactly. be great to have it because I think it's going to create only additional value for our users. And it becomes like a small ecosystem. I mean, work, especially in our field, and we're a business media, is a huge percentage of the time that we're spending.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
And this is why maybe there's something that we can discuss further and elaborate further on that, and this
open
could be
to.
Something interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Open to. We have been almost tempted if we should do a job board, but it just doesn't make sense. It makes more sense actually to partner.
To combine the strengths.
Exactly. Because you mentioned also AI a couple of times, and we're speaking about people, I'm actually curious. We have been... No, the conversation about AI changed a lot in the past year. A year ago, I think we were all very, very frightened that it's going to steal our jobs. And that was like the main topic of all discussions that we had on AI. I think now we accepted that AI is going to be part of our life. We are now also seeing the first benefits. We have direct contact with AI through the ChatGPT platform. I think we are now maybe a bit calmer. At the same time, what we see is bots which are totally taking over tasks that developers used to do. We see algorithms that are going to take over whole industries. A lot of the menial work that we have is going to be replaced by AI. And because you are working with a workforce which is on both sides of the spectrum, you know, the non-LinkedIn users or so that which are not qualified, who are often actually in menial responsibilities, and engineers who also will have to change completely their responsibilities. So how fast do you see AI now affecting the market for workforce in our region, in Central and Eastern Europe?
That's a very good question. There are kind of maybe three dimensions of that. Mm-hmm. I think that the real senior knowledge worker will be affected only positive by AI. Mm-hmm. Because the AI will give him the opportunity to be more efficient, to be faster with things, to be more concrete and to be more creative. Mm-hmm. Which is, from my point of view, kind of a targeted scenario for all these guys. I mean, this is very positive. And this will be in various industries, not only in IT, not only in HR, but also in all professions. Talking about the junior knowledge worker, which is just in the beginning of his, let's say, work experience and so on and so forth, he has to learn more than before. Why? Because many of the more simple tasks will not be done by people in the future. This is not a horror scenario. It's just a challenge in front of education. It's just a challenge in front of how to deal with these things. Because, honestly speaking, the knowledge worker itself are so needed and they're not enough. This means that there is work for everybody. I mean, that's the first very important message. There is work for everybody. But the work will look different. And there will be new professions which will create it and so on and so forth. Talking IT, for example, everything what earlier days was called manual testing, most of this will disappear. Because you don't need it anymore if you have other scenarios.
It will be done
scenarios.
Also better by algorithms.
It will be done better, more secure, with a better quality
faster,
and so on and so forth. But everything what was simple coding will not disappear, but will evolve because the people will more configure systems than code systems. This will be a very big change. But imagine the first big change was, and this is something that many people have forgot, it was the earlier days, the COBOL programming on the mainframe machines was like a mathematical lines to be programmed in order to create algorithm and was much more mathematical knowledge needed than in object-oriented programming because there you had ready libraries, ready elements, and so on and so forth, and you was kind of more compiling these elements to create the code. And imagine the next step of evolution of this is that you have ready elements and to just configure them. This is low code, no code development is nothing but the third step of this. This means that with or without AI, this will happen for sure. And the question is much more how we define products, how we manage product management, how we create the working process to be the right one with the right approaches, how we reinvent agile in the future, how we work with these things. In order to get to a great products and great stuff that you're shipping out. That's the first thing. And the second is much more going to business and thinking where the competitive advantage of my business is. When I'm doing logistics, how I can beat my competition in logistics. What is the benefit of this? When I'm doing banking, how my fintech strategy works in the future in order to avoid this huge amount of administration that I have to cover today, for example. These are the more specific things that you have to work and specialize in when you're a knowledge worker.
So successful CEOs and successful founders in the future will have to be much more strategic from what I understand and less maybe technical than it was.
Times more strategic.
Times more strategic.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
And talking about the low-qualified workers, I would say for the low-qualified workers, we will never have enough of them. Yes, because there are many, many things which will need the work of people supporting it. You will not create a robot for everything. I mean, it will take ages until you're there. I mean, maybe you can automate, and you're working with automation since the 60s. Of the last century, automation is nothing new here. The process engineering was the 90s. Currently, we're working on a full automation of stuff and so on and so forth. But there are so many activities which needs the involvement of people that there are definitely not enough of them to support what is developed and how it's developed. Further, you have different speeds in the world. I mean, much critical things which are related to AI are social aspects. Much critical things which are related to AI is how to support through AI people which are underdeveloped, how to avoid conflicts, how to go and avoid that some people are has much more criminal energy in the digital world than ever before. Because honestly speaking, when you're talking about the challenges which AI delivers, I would say if you turn AI to criminal, then this one is very challenging. And it's very challenging to be beaten, because the hackers of the previous years was going out to software, but the hackers today, they are much more strategic. Mm-hmm. The CEOs of the hacker companies are much more strategic, and they know how to study behaviors. They know how to study the way how the processes and the workflows are doing, and so on and so forth. And they're jumping in, and they're creating completely different environment within a company in order to steal the money from the company.
So in 2 years, I'm inviting you so that we can talk about security. Because
absolutely,
that's
yes.
What I sense, oh, your next
absolutely,
passion
yes.
is also lying. Yeah, I think we're still yet to see the full potential of the technologies that we develop, which are going to be used for not so noble purposes, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is the biggest challenge that we have to face, and we have to deal with AI in the future. That's from my point of view, mm-hmm. how to govern this, how the legislation works. Mm. With the new opportunities, how we are fighting against organized crime, how we are ensuring the social freedom, how we are doing those things. This will be, from my point of view, because the world is changing. I mean, We were discussing like 5-10 years ago with the cloud, with the IT, that the global corporations are becoming bigger than countries. They're starting to evolve in a completely different way.
Oh,
they
yeah.
can buy even countries and so on and so forth. And now pair this with on top with AI and the opportunities which AI gives you, then things are becoming tricky.
I think we need to start separating even more and more actually from this idea of national countries. And we need to develop an identity that is global so that we can face these challenges. And unfortunately, we are observing exactly the opposite in many ways. But yeah, it's a huge topic. And yes, in 2 years latest, I would suggest that we gather together here, maybe. And then you tell me about the next projects that you're going to develop in this space, because I'm sure that you won't stop.
There are a couple of ideas, I'm sure. Yeah.
I'm sure. Thank you for this update. It's been very interesting to see how the mindset of someone who has been so entrepreneurial, so operational, is now developing into the next on the next level. And I'm sure that you could be a great mentor to many future entrepreneurs. So, what is the best way to find you now?
If you ask to find me, you will.
Thank you, Ivo.
You're
it's been
welcome.
A pleasure.
And if you're just as passionate about innovation as we are, hit subscribe for the Recursive Podcast on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. We're everywhere.
This podcast episode is supported by EBRD. Support to small and medium-sized businesses is an important part of the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development's mandate. Activities to support small businesses include direct and indirect financing through partner institutions. The EBRD's Advice for Small Businesses team provides the knowledge, the network, and the skills to help emerging businesses innovate, thrive, and succeed.